The only magic created by charter schools seems to be their ability to make money, and charter schools disappear. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking charter school fraud. Let's bust some pencils.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker. Here's what's trending in education news.
From Forbes.com, number of teachers quitting the classroom after just 1 year hits all-time high. The teacher shortage is reaching crisis levels as the number leaving after just a year in the classroom has hit an all-time high. More teachers are dropping out after their first year than any time in the last 20 years, while one in three leave after 5 years, according to figures published today.
My goodness, crisis.
It is. That's what it sounds like.
Teachers are leaving. Not after 3 years, not after 5 years, but now 1 year.
Haven't we heard this story before?
You know, this is interesting, right? Because we're not telling people the full story of this story, because this story could easily be set here in America.
Right.
But
it's not.
It's not. This is happening in England.
So are they copying all the teachers here?
We've talked about this, saying that, hey, maybe the teacher shortage that we continue to complain about here in America really is a solution that we're just not aware of yet. And in fact, now we're exporting that solution to England, and now England is using it. And they themselves don't understand that actually teachers quitting after a year is a good thing, because economically, if you're running a school district and the majority of your people quit after 1 year, it's really cheap, because 30-year teachers cost lots of money. So if you have a building of 30 teachers with 20 years experience, that could cost, let's just make up a number, 1.7 million pounds,
sure,
since we're talking about England.
Oh,
right?
Yes,
pounds,
okay.
Right? Now, if you have 31-year teachers, that might cost you 200,000 pounds.
Sounds like a bargain.
So they're hitting on something here that maybe we're just not aware of. Or
Something's going wrong here.
And the reality is that we've talked about, it's called the global education reform movement. And so what is driving teachers out of the classroom in America is driving teachers out of the classrooms in England, is driving the teachers out of the classrooms in Australia, in New Zealand. And what is that? It is this whole idea of standards, accountability, and we're going to constantly tell teachers that you're not measuring up. And every time you don't measure up, we're going to punish you, and every time we punish you, you're going to feel shame. Eventually, that shame turns into "F you, I'm not doing this anymore."
Right. I can get that somewhere else.
Okay.
I don't need it here.
Right, and actually, that other number, the was it three after 5 years?
That's consistent
here already with America. I mean, we know that. And I would be interested to dig deeper though in this and see what is our 1 year teacher quitting rate here in America. England, if you got us beat on this one, okay, I guess you get it, but we kicked your ass in women's soccer.
From educationweek.com, Koch Network announces new education lobbying group, Walton Funding Pact. Philanthropic groups associated with billionaire businessmen and activist Charles Koch have announced two initiatives to deepen their involvement in K through 12 education.
Sorry. Frightening. Okay. Anyone, this is not the best headline for people that are involved in K-12 education at the public level.
What do you mean? These businessmen that have nothing to do with it decide they want to help? It's not good?
The Koch brothers' record on supporting schools has been, well, not.
No. Okay.
They've used their billions to invest in doing away with public schools. So this is a frightening announcement, because now teaming up with the Waltons, and that's not the John Boy Waltons either that we use. This is the other Walmart Waltons. Waltons, who also aren't very friendly to public schools and have invested billions of their money in trying to do away with public schools too. So the combination of the two of them coming together is very frightening. Now, the text afterwards says they're going to try to bring together these disparate groups that have in the past not got along very well. Really, now?
But the groups they're talking about aren't even education groups. They're all talking about right and left. They're talking about politics. Yeah.
Can we bring the politicians together?
But we'll do it under the umbrella of education. Yeah,
but here's the first thing. The first thing you will get wrong when you say you want to fix education is say you need to go to a politician.
Right.
Okay? Especially go to a politician with lots of money.
Yeah.
Okay? Guaranteed to screw up schools. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because a lot of money, politician, no knowledge of school, and the money coming from groups that have historically not liked schools, okay, bad idea. Lots of money with no strings attached going to a group of teachers and asking them what they might want to do, that would be headlines where we might celebrate.
Yeah.
Okay. The idea that the Koch brothers are going to smooth this out? No. And what we've got these ideas. Yes, every kid and 4.0 schools. And really, when you look at these, it's just another charter school type of initiative. This has nothing to do with looking at the real issues facing public schools. So I'm sorry, but this is a frightening headline. And public school advocates, watch out for Jaws.
From the WashingtonPost.com, charter school advocates didn't like this report. A co-author explains where they are right and very wrong. Both the reputation and enthusiasm for charter schools are on the decline. Charter advocacy organizations such as the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools have demonstrated an unwillingness to address the sector's weaknesses, and that unwillingness may be the ultimate undoing of the charter movement itself.
And that comes from none other than the Network for Public Education's Carol Burris.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's responding to the fact that about 2 weeks ago, there was a report, a report released, Asleep at the Wheel.
Right.
Commission, where they really looked at charter schools across the country and the fraud. Okay? No other way to explain it.
Right.
Tons of fraud.
Yes.
Lots of money being given by the government, which means taxpayer money, mm-hmm. to charter school organizations, whatever you want to call them, and then finding things like, holy crap, schools didn't open, but yet the money was given. People bought mansions.
And didn't open a school.
And maybe some people should look at this. And so Asleep at the Wheel, meaning the government, should be monitoring this. Mm-hmm. Well, the National Alliance of Public Charter Schools didn't like this report.
Well, I don't like that their name is just a lot of nonsense either. Okay, well, What is a
public charter school? And, you know, we're doing this news, and in fact, as this news ends and the main interview continues in the podcast, we'll actually be talking to Carol about this, mm-hmm. so it'll be fun to dig deep into this.
Right.
But for now, though, just looking at this, understand you ask probably one of the most important questions. What is a public charter school? Okay. We've had this discussion on Busted Pencils before, and the answer is not sure.
Oh.
Okay. In Wisconsin, there is the possibility that a school district can open a charter school within the district, and that the school board controls it, and that the students who go there are from the district, and so there's money. Outside of that, though, public charter school, really, they're using the words to say, hey, it was funded by public dollars, therefore it makes it public.
Right.
No, because as Asleep at the Wheel reports, the public dollars that went to fund a lot of these public charter schools never made it to kids, never made it to schools.
Right.
Okay.
But those mansions look great.
They look great. And, you know, but I mean, this is, people have gone to jail finally over this. And what the Network for Public Education is trying to do with this report is to say, where is quote, accountability. Okay, these are tax dollars, okay? And they're being spent and they're being wasted. When you give, I give you, Bonnie, a lot of money to do something for me.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
And you take it mm-hmm. and not do anything for me.
But you gave it to me. You just told me I could have it.
And see, that's the thing. Somebody's saying...
and nobody's...
Somebody's saying, Tim, shouldn't you go after Bonnie for not doing anything with the money except spending it on herself?
Right.
We're going to ask Carol that in a few minutes.
We are Busting Pencils!
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
In 2013, she was recognized by the National Association of Secondary School Principals as the New York State High School Principal of the Year. She is currently the Executive Director for the Network for Public Education. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Welcome back, I should say, Carol Burris. How are you today?
I'm great, and it's wonderful to be back, Tim.
Oh, so... you know, you're our charter school expert because we seem to constantly need to educate people about charter schools. The last time I had you on was because in my home state here in Wisconsin, we were debating the public charter school language, and we kind of helped people understand that there probably isn't anything really, truly a technically public charter school. But since then, though, the Network for Public Education and you specifically, along with Jeff Bryant, right, as the key authors, put together a report called Asleep at the Wheel that documents quite a bit of fraud in the charter school sector. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and it's not the focus of the report has fraud in it. It contains fraud, but the focus of it really is more about the funding of charter schools by the CSP and the fact that so many of the charter schools that the CSP funds.
What's the CSP?
Opened. Oh, thank you. Okay. That's the Charter Schools Program of the U.S. Department of Education.
Okay, that's so I want to make sure that everybody understands. So we're talking about a federal education program that's being funded by tax dollars.
Yes.
Okay.
And the real surprise for us was, in addition to a lot of the problems that we saw, because we dug deeply into who some of the grantees were that were available to us to take a look, and what really surprised us was the scope of charter failure. Mm. Right. So you have a program that has spent approximately $4.1 billion since 1995 on opening up new charter schools.
Right.
By giving them seed money to do it, and then by giving them very often hundreds of thousands of dollars to help them on their way. And what surprised us was seeing how many of those schools actually either never open at all or open up and then close, sometimes right away, sometimes within 3 or 4 years, but ultimately they are not successful schools, right? And subsequent to that report, one of the things that we're looking at now is we're actually going through the data sets themselves, state by state, and identifying those schools and identifying the granted amounts that they got so that we're moving well beyond what were some pretty good estimations in the report to actual concrete data that people can take a look at. And by the way, Tim, what it looks like is that our report underestimated the waste.
Oh, my goodness, the waste.
Well,
I just want to, you know, quickly kind of go back and just do a little bit of an illustration just so that a listener might get a sense of what you're talking about. So I quote and Stick here, who's producing the show for us, could become a nonprofit organization and say, we would like to open a charter school and apply for money to this
organization or through the Department of Federal or the Federal Department of Education, they could give us a couple hundred thousand dollars. And with that $200,000, Stick and I are supposed to open a school. But what you found is the possibility that we might not have ever opened that school. We may have opened that school and then closed it. Their results have been horrible, and therefore they've closed it. Is that a kind of a more concrete way of understanding what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And
if,
in some cases, you know, the money that's given is not a small amount. I'm doing some extra digging into one particular state right now, and I'm finding numerous schools that were given $100,000, $110,000 to open, and then never opened at all. And they hand in receipts, you know, for whatever.
And never opened,
opened, okay. and they get the money.
Well, and that's what I was wanted to ask. And so when Stick and I go, okay, you know, we're not going to open this school, we should probably give this money back. That's also one of the issues that you're finding is that there's no giving the money back if I don't open the charter school.
Right, as long as you can produce some receipts. So
okay.
You can produce receipts that you spend $10,000 on curriculum and $1,000 on staff development. I mean, all of this before you've even gotten approval from the state to open up your school. And as long as you hand those receipts in, you don't have to give the money back.
So,
I mean, I think that that's a serious problem, as well as what you talked about before, too, which is a charter school opens, and after a little while, the people who open the school decide to shut down the school, or more likely are shut down.
Mm.
And that could be for a variety of reasons. It could be because of academic performance. It could be because they're just not financially viable. It could be because they don't attract children to attend the charter school. And then in some cases, it could be because there has been fraud and the authorizer has stepped in. There was a story recently that caught a lot of attention in California with a group of folks who engaged in a massive amount of fraud. I believe it was $80 million was the final accounting that the FBI came up with for what they were doing. And, you know, tracing back, I saw some of the names in the report, and I started to chuckle because I knew the names.
Oh.
I knew the name Shaw McManus. I knew the name Steve Van Zandt. I knew the name of Eli Johnson. And I knew the name for two reasons. One, I was familiar with one of the names from doing this report because earlier they had a different charter school chain in California, and they got over $2 million in federal money to get that charter chain going. And I also knew it because I had done a report on California and the charter sector about 3 years ago and just found the whole operation incredibly sketchy. So, you know, these are the things that are happening, and they're not happening just every now and then. We track the scandals on our website. We have a page called Another Day, Another Charter School Scandal.
Right.
And we are now up to several a day.
Several a day?
A day. Yeah. Many days, there are several. Yeah. I mean, it's every month we post all of them and look and Tim, you know, this is what we see. We don't have a full-time person.
Time
digging through the news.
Well, you mean you don't have a staff of thousands out there combing reports and doing?
We have me and one half-time person and one quarter-time person. So you're not talking about a lot of people. We just work very, very hard because we really care about the work. And you know that if we're seeing, you know, two a day, three a day, one a day on any given day, there are others that are happening. And I don't know if the fraud is becoming more frequent or if the news media has finally woken up and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is a problem. We're going to start covering these stories.
Well, if the government is going to hold them accountable, then at least we, you know, the news media is supposed to be doing that. So to have them step up and do that is great. You know what, though? A quick detour, back in history, just so we can understand. I mean, why do we even have charter schools? I mean, don't we have a fully functioning, or at least supposedly, commitment to a public education system in this country?
Well, yeah, we would like to think so, but I really do think that commitment is wavering. Betsy DeVos is certainly the perfect example of that. She doesn't believe in it. She believes that public schools are government schools, and that that we should educate children sort of the way, you know, we pave a road that the taxpayers pay for, but we bring in contractors to do it.
Right.
I mean, essentially, that is her vision of education. And you know, if you go back in the history, it goes back to a particular charter school that started in Minnesota, and it was a charter school that was intended for children as an alternative school, right? These were kids that weren't coming to school, didn't graduate. And it was with the support of the local teachers union. It was with the support of the district. And then all of a sudden, that vision got ripped away, and it became an industry.
Right. That's where we are now, is that we've taken what could have, as you just said, an idea of possibly addressing some students in a way that they needed a better way than the traditional school. But now, though, these are popping up as not the alternatives, but we're trying to say that this is what we need instead of public schools.
Oh, absolutely. And you're seeing now what's happening with charter schools, and your listeners should be very aware of this within cities. The proponents of charter schools, they're starting to shift strategy a little bit. And there's a lot of billionaires who are funding something called the City Fund. And the whole way that they're approaching it now is that you take a look at a district. Denver is an example of this. Indianapolis is another. And you look at your schools as a portfolio. And like a portfolio of stocks, they call it a portfolio.
Right.
You get rid of the bad ones, and then you keep the good ones. And now the trend is to take a school that is considered to be a failing school and flip it into a charter school in order to save it.
This will be the next HGTV production, is school flipping, like they do.
Yeah.
it's horrible to think about the fact that that could be going on.
Yeah, and I just recently saw a proposal, and it was a confidential memo, so I can't share the details, but essentially, even proposing that every school in a district should be on a contract. Right? So your neighborhood school gets a 5-year contract. They look at the end of the contract. Oh, it's not performing the way we want to perform it. Boom. We make it something else. We bring in new people. We fire all the teachers. Lord knows what we do to the children.
Right. Well, we do all these things. Now, I wanted, though, okay, so we're asleep at the wheel. It's out there. It details, you know, shenanigans, let's call it then, if we're not going to call it directly fraud, but there's some fraud, but shenanigans. And though after you then kind of summarized this in the Washington Post and Valerie Strauss's The Answer Sheet, just recently, in fact, yesterday, you had to republish because you caught some flack from the National Alliance of Public Charter Schools.
Yeah, they wrote a critique of the report that was published by EdNext, and essentially just put together numbers in what I consider to be a very irresponsible way to say that the $1 billion number that we said is a possibility. We never said it was fact. We said it was a possibility. Certainly hundreds of millions we could justify just from our report. you know, so I had to write and respond and explain where we got the number from. But the most interesting part since then, one place that I agreed with them was they said that we had estimated too much. So what we've been doing since the report, and I felt that way afterward, you know, we finished the report, but I really wanted to dig deeper, is we are now going through state by state by state and actually naming the schools that have closed, naming the schools that have never opened, and showing how much money they were granted.
Mm-hmm.
And what is really incredible is that what we're finding is what we thought was much lower than what the reality is. I believe you're in the state of Wisconsin, right, Tim? I did Wisconsin over the past couple of days. It takes a long, long time to do this. And there's identified $45,581,668 going to charter schools that had gone to charter schools since 1991, but probably really more realistically 1995 forward to the year 2015 that are now closed. They're non-existent if they opened. Some of them never even opened.
Opened. But this money went, and again, as we said, has not been returned or accounted for in any way, shape, or form other than it was spent and there's nothing to show for it.
Right. I mean, there are receipts to show for it.
Well, receipts.
You know, and I mean, so to be fair, in the case of schools that closed, you know, they were for a period of time educating kids, right? So, you know, but the whole point of the charter schools program is supposed to be seed money to produce high-quality charter schools, right? That is the intent of the program. You're going to get funding. They're getting funding from the states. They're getting funding from the department with special education funds. But the point of CSP is that seed money to do a high-quality program. If your school cannot stay open more than 3 or 4 years, I don't think that was a high-quality application.
Right. And, you know, so reading your rebuttal, it was interesting that it was like the National Alliance of Public Charter Schools wants it both ways. They didn't like that you did some, quote, accounting, but then kind of came back and said, hey, we close because we're accountable, and that's just good. That shows us that should be telling people that this is an industry where when things don't work, we shut them down. And wait a minute, you shut down as if like I was buying sneakers at your store, and now I go back the next day and I can't get sneakers. We're not talking, we're like, wait, I was taking math class yesterday, and now today I can't?
Yeah. And that's what they don't get, and I think it's because there is a real tendency to look at this stuff like they look at business. There's the lives of children.
Right.
Children love their teachers. They love their school. I mean, there's exceptions, but for the most part, they do. Families depend upon their schools. My daughters went to kindergarten in a public school where I went to kindergarten. You know, that's a part of a community that, not perfect schools, not schools with the highest test scores in the world, but schools where they were cared for. So that when my daughter had a teacher in fourth grade, my other daughter had that same teacher a few years later, and then the next. And that is such an important piece of what it is to be schooled.
Right.
And be schooled in a public school. And they don't get it. Closing a school is a badge of honor, even a charter school. The parents fight when they close a charter school.
This is traumatic. I mean, we're looking at and this isn't even a charter school, but, you know, right here in particularly in rural Wisconsin, where, you know, the population is shrinking, and the failure of, you know, the last 8 years of Walker to fund public schools, schools have been really strapped. And so we have, you know, we have a district here in the last 2 days that, you know, voted to dissolve. You know, where people, even the school board member and people were crying about the fact that, you know, this is something that has stood there for, you know, 80 plus 90 years. It's now gone. And the disruption this is causing to the community, people are saying, you know, we realize that. And then to think that we're going to say, well, this is the way it should be. You should shut down. We should close down and go, do you understand the societal impact, the traumatic impact on individual children? And then this is the part, you know, here in Milwaukee, particularly where, you know, the hotbed of choice in charter schools has always been, is that we're taking mostly the most vulnerable kids who have traumatic lives daily. And we're saying, hey, it's okay if your school closes and we put you through that trauma also.
Yeah, and it really is unconscionable. And then your rural districts in Wisconsin also, you have online charter schools, right? And you know, so you have all kinds of ways that they're making the destructions of those schools happen between voucher programs and online charter schools. If there are not brick-and-mortar charter schools that are also competing, your rural districts are the ones that are most at risk. They can't afford to lose the funding. They can't afford to lose the kids.
No, and that's...
And so,
yeah. No, I'm sorry I cut you off there, but...
No. It's fine. You know, it's really a heartbreak, and when you take a look at the states that have rejected some of this, you know, the states that don't want charter schools, even though they're red states, right, like Nebraska, a lot of it is because there's large rural areas, and they understand that this whole idea of choice and this whole idea of competition will very quickly destroy public education.
Well, and that's the illustration there. You know, Carol, I'm sitting here, like, you're talking about 50 states going through this all the time, coming, you know, putting together daily another charter school scandal you're pointing out.
Yeah.
And asleep at the wheel. And I'm just sitting here thinking, on top of the writing, we need to be telling this story a bit more frequently. And so, you know, on the spot, I'm sitting here thinking, wait, a semi-regular appearance by Carol Burris from the Network for Public Education to update us on the charter school scandals sounds like a feature that could really serve the listener to Busted Pencils quite well in keeping them very informed about how much of this shenanigans are going on. And I'm just wondering, is this something you might be interested in doing?
I would love to do it. Because I do really believe that a lot of this is a lot of misinformation and miseducation. Just the fact that an organization calls itself the National Alliance of Public Charter Schools, while it gives an award to a guy who is like the for-profit king in Florida selling real estate to the charter schools that he runs, it makes me realize that the public really doesn't understand what's happening. And I do think it's changing, Tim. I think you see a shift in attitude toward charter schools, especially among progressives. And I think it's going to shift even more as people become aware of the facts.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking here is that, you know, the Washington Post, you're putting it out there, you're putting the reports, you've got the Busted Pencils podcast. Let's get it out there even more. Let's make sure that this education that's occurring around charter schools, make sure every venue in which someone can get an education, we make sure they're able to get it. And so this is why, I mean, I appreciate this. I can't wait to consider and talk offline about planning some future interviews and when you're ready to update us on this. And, you know, it goes great with, you know, we're doing working cooperatively now with Rethinking Schools to really highlight alternative, well, not alternative, but social justice curriculum. We're looking at the Zen Education Project, now working with the Network for Public Education on this charter school thing. I think, you know, we really now start to put out some great information. So I, you know, thank you for spending the time with me today and getting the listener of Busted Pencils caught up on another day, another charter school scandal. And thank you for agreeing to the semi-regular appearance, or let's just call it a regular spot where we're going to talk to Carol Burris, the executive director of the Network for Public Education, and we're going to hear about the charter school updates as you get them and you're ready to talk about them.
That sounds great, Tim. I look forward to it.
Well, Carol, you know how we always end the show, though. Thank you for busting pencils.
It's my pleasure.
Time now for our weekly salute to legendary historian and activist Howard Zinn. This is your moment of Zen.
But I suppose the most revolutionary act one can engage in is to tell the truth.
My thanks to Carol Burris and the Network for Public Education. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker. Keep busting pencils.
Log on to BustedPencils.com for the latest trending news, blogs, past shows, and more. Subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and Google Play. And get daily updates by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils. This is Fully Leaded Education Talk. Busted Pencils Radio.